in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out. So you've got a church split going on. You've got some people going their own way. And I'm going to suggest to you, that ain't all bad. Because Amen. Now you can identify them and us.
Yeah.
And when you mingle the them with the us, the tendency is for the ones that got it right to have to compromise and to put up with the ones that got it wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is a slippery slope that doesn't go to a good place. So the truth here is something that's not for the faint of heart. A split is a good thing.
Amen.
And those that are not of you, those that are of the Antichrist, let them go. Try to get them right, but when they won't have it, they went out, that they might be made manifest. Look at the function of that.
Yes.
Once they're out of Dodge, now you know they're not from Dodge anymore.
Yes.
So that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. We're different from them.
Yes.
I believe that that's a good thing, to separate out that which is different from the Bible-believing, mid-Acts believer in Christ and Him crucified. The folks that have trouble with any of that, go to the Methodist church you came from.
Yes.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11 in verse 19, there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you.
Yes.
So here's the heretic, and here's the guy that's got it right.
Yes.
The one is a demonstration of the other. When they both are silent, then heresy prospers.
Yes.
The right, it can't prosper. It's not going to get better. Right's right,
yeah,
wherever you find it.
Yeah.
Even if you find it with people you don't like very much, it's still right. Heresy, even when it comes from people you like, is still heresy.
Yes, it is.
And there ought to be a schism. Now, I know people run to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that there should be no schisms in the body. That's right, there shouldn't be. But when there are, don't pretend like there aren't.
Yes.
When there are, don't pretend as if you're in unity.
Mm-hmm.
It is a wrong thing to march under the banner with somebody who teaches that Jesus Christ didn't know who he was.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's a wrong thing to be supportive of someone who, and you won't hear it very often, it won't come from pulpits very often, maybe an occasional Sunday night, about how the curse on Ham is still in place today.
Shame.
So let's trot it out there and let everybody have a good, clear walk in the sun. Sunlight's a wonderful thing. It's
yeah.
a very much of a purifying agent, this business of sunlight.
Yes.
So the differences that exist when they are hidden and swept under the rug, you haven't helped anybody. I believe that the most narrow-minded, nasty people that I've encountered in my Christianity are the open-minded, tolerant Christians.
Yeah.
I said for years that when you find me lying on the floor, dead in a pool of my own blood, there'll be a Methodist pastorette that shot me.
Yes.
Because I didn't have enough love.
Yes.
And she'll be there in her robe and her Jesus in her pocket and her 45 in her right hand and blow me away because he wasn't very loving.
Yep.
The best thing that could happen to the mid-Acts movement is for the contrasts to be made manifest,
yeah.
made evident.
Mm-hmm.
Separate and put over here all the people who think only the original manuscripts are true, and they'll correct any translation because really they're the final arbiter of what God really said in their sermon that minute. They've got it. Nobody else does.
Yeah.
Separate them out.
Yes.
Start with Paul Sadler and the Berean group. They would be a good rallying place. And Les Feldick, he's part of that.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. Do the best you can with the gospel of the grace of God and the revelation of the mystery. taking and staking your ground that no Bible is perfect. No Bible is right. We've got our fingers crossed that we're getting it right for you, and we're checking all the Greek manuscripts that we can. We're doing the best we know how, but we're doing it without a Bible. Take that stance.
Yes, be honest.
Now, the problem is, there's so little discernment in the pews these days that if somebody stands up there and says, well, I think the King James Bible is the best, oh, he's a King James Bible believer, when he isn't. He just said it's the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you've got a bushel of apples and they're all rotten, find the best one and you still got a rotten apple.
Yes.
Out in the yard the other day trying to get some pears off one of our trees. The bees get to them first.
Oh, yeah.
And they bore little holes in them, and that part of the, it's ruined.
Yeah.
So I found the best one, and I ate around the bee hole. But it was still hurt. It was bad.
Yes.
So I don't want to be tolerant. I don't want to be open-minded.
No.
And where I'm wrong, I want to be told.
Yeah.
I want to be schooled. Mm-hmm. When I've messed up, the best thing that could happen, I think I intimidate people and they don't tell me as much as they should. You messed up. The best thing that could happen in the mid-Acts movement is to take all the original manuscript Bible correctors and call them one thing.
Yes.
Call them what I just said.
Yes.
Original manuscript Bible correctors. Find the folks who believe that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't know who he was till God told him at his baptism. There's Christ, 30 years old, finding out he's God's son. That's the teaching of Richard Jordan. You buy into that? Great, go stand next to him. I won't stand anywhere near you for fear of lightning.
Yeah.
If I were God, you'd go zap.
Yes.
You'd get a blessing from the Holy Ghost that you weren't expecting. That's a denigration of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's not the fullness of the Godhead bodily, you can't put him on a cross.
That's right.
That's how serious the heresy of Richard Jordan and some of his followers are neophytes. A guy like Dave Reed, he's a nice kid, but he's a kid.
Yeah.
So he's following.
Yeah.
Leading from behind, as it were. These kinds of things, identify them.
Yes.
Don't hide them in a drawer. Put them on a shelf so we can see. We're trying to look bigger by pretending we don't have the differences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're still itty-bitty.
Yes.
Regardless.
Yes, we are.
And now we've sown the seeds of our own destruction as well.
Yes.
By allowing these things to continue. So, the people in 1 John do well in verse 8, 19, to have those that aren't with them move on.
Yeah.
And that speaks also to Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, that there are people who have the seal of God in their foreheads. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows about the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
Find somebody that knows about the seal of God in their foreheads.
Yeah.
That'd be a rare bird there.
Yes.
The significance? These people in 1 John need to know which is which.
Yes.
Because by outward appearances, they look a lot alike.
Yeah.
So, again, they need to recognize who the Antichrist and deceivers are. We don't have the benefit of the Holy Ghost endowment. We don't have the benefit of the seal. We've got the benefit of Pauline doctrine, and that's how we should sort things out.
Yes.
Now, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, the idea of separating, may I use the word segregating, from those who are not a part of you, is how God sorted Israel from everybody else.
Yes.
Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 13, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants. They went away. This, I'm loving it. Let's identify that mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division is an entity of a certain size. And that this segment of it, these are original manuscript Greekers.
Okay.
Great. Then I'm not going to go there.
No.
And this segment over here has got an ignorant Jesus. Doesn't know. He's fully dependent upon God even now, yeah. Pastor Jordan says. So he's never the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You want the transcript of that? I'll send it to you as a PDF file. Well, this is the whole of the mid-Acts movement. Not for me.
No.
I'm not going there or there unless I want to make trouble, and I'm good at that.
No.
Well, we got a sly little group. Now, this sly little group that I'm going to identify next, it's part of the other groups, too.
Yeah.
And, well, Shem established all religions. And Japheth, he enlarges his tents. And Ham, he's still got a curse on him today. Now, he's the best mechanic he can be. That's how Jordan teaches it.
Yeah.
He's the best mechanic he can be. But he's got to be the mechanic, is he?
Yeah.
He can't own the shop.
No. He has to be a servant of servants.
See what I'm saying? So, how sly.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing wrong with being a mechanic, is there? Bless God, hallelujah. And he's the best there can be.
Yeah.
If you're dumb as a brick, you think he said a nice thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See the lack of discernment?
Yes.
As Dilbert said in today's paper, you don't have to pay attention to smart people. There aren't that many of them.
Amen, amen.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Why do you say anything against black people? Why? They're the best mechanic. They're the best. That's how it works.
Oh, yeah.
That's called sly.
Oh, my, yeah.
Well, quit being sly. Trot it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't believe we live in a dispensation of grace where everyone is one in Christ. You don't believe that.
No.
You believe Shem, he's yelling, he established all the religions, and you say that's good. Huh? What religions that Shem established are good? Hinduism? Buddhism? Confucianism? Taoism? Shintoism?
Islam.
Let me know. That's your teaching from your pulpit. Shem's the father of all religion. Then he is as devilish as the devil.
Yeah.
Sure is.
Japheth, he enlarged his tents. So that's the European. And he gets to enlarge his tents. And he gets to go from Europe to run this place and run that place. And he's the enlarged one. And the servant of servants to this day, servile, would be the descendants of Ham. So, now that they're educated and integrated into society, we're all in the same society, and they are the best nurses. The best. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's how they do it.
So we paint it.
I've heard it done. I've called him on it.
Yes.
He sees all white faces. He says something he wouldn't say if there was some black faces.
Yes.
So I call him on it.
Have you been invited to preach there?
No.
Uh-huh.
Not lately. One guy down in Florida, after the service, we're walking out to our cars. And there was some young people. And the pastor says, looking at the young people, I still don't like to see black ones and white ones together. Mm-hmm. And I said, wouldn't you like to see them both in Christ? And how are they different then? Mm-hmm. That was a guy named Beckermeyer down in Florida.
Yeah.
But that's, why did he say that? Because it's what he believes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ruckman writes a book, Segregation or Integration, and he favors segregation, of course. And he goes to verses like Deuteronomy 13. Segregation in the Bible was to segregate Israel from all the heathen folk.
Yeah.
So that the heathen folks would say, wow, look at that outfit, the laws they got. God's with them. We ought to check out what they're doing.
Yes.
That was the function of segregation. Had nothing to do with colors of skin, ethnicity, or any of the things that it was morphed into by people who needed to defend slavery.
Yes.
And that came from pulpits in this country defending slavery.
Yes, it did.
I read just the other day of an abolitionist in 1848 who was fighting against slavery to such a degree that some northerners caught him. One of them stabbed him in the side for being an abolitionist. And another one put a gun to the side of his head, pulled the trigger. The cap fired, but the chamber didn't fire. Because it used to be cap would ignite and then the bullet. Didn't happen. So he, three more times, didn't happen. And that guy went on to fight for abolition. I found myself marveling at how ignorant I am. That guy was Henry Clay's cousin. His name was Cassius Marcellus Clay. I thought that was a boxer.
Yeah.
The abolitionists and the slaveholders chose up sides. And there was a fight. We could do with some good fights.
Yes.
In the grace movement. I would be happy to be the Cassius Marcellus Clay of the grace movement, calling out these people who are continuing to this day teaching Shem, Ham, and Japheth, putting a colored ceiling over everybody but whites.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And thinking they're doing God's service.
Shameful.
It's disgusting.
Ignorant.
Hey, let's identify them. Mm-hmm. Along with the original manuscript Greekers, along with the ignorant Jesus people. And now I just got a little bitty piece of the pie left for me.
It's okay.
But I'm good with that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with that. Now, I have a knack for getting the piece of the pie small.
It's okay.
Working well.
Yeah, you know, once you get to, I don't celebrate holidays, and I, you know, once you get down to where I am, there's not a lot of ground for me to stand. I'm good with that.
Yes.
Hopefully, I've been smart enough to prioritize the things with which I simply can't fellowship.
Yes.
I could sit down and have fried chicken and pecan pie with the Greekers, the original manuscript people, but I'm not going to sit under their teaching.
No.
Because they're teaching something that's not true based on a book they don't have. Mm-hmm. I certainly not going to sit with the ignorant Jesus people.
No.
Because they got a guy on the cross that couldn't die for my sins. They've got a guy who was flawed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to have fellowship with the Shem, Ham, Japheth, secret racist, sly people. I've dealt with enough crooks in my life. I don't need Christian crooks.
Amen.
I don't need folks to be there and have any part of that. I don't want to be associated with that kind of thinking.
No.
And the reason I don't want to be associated with it has nothing to do with black or white. It's a denial of grace.
That's it.
It's a denial of the new creature.
Yes.
It's a denial of us all being one in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
It's a denial of Colossians 3:3. It's a denial of the central precepts of Paul's message.
Yes.
So, taking Paul's message and applying it, that changes how you view things like Shem, Ham, and Japheth. If you believe Cain was cursed with black skin, which you can't prove, if you believe that Shem, Ham, and Japheth and all of that business, and we know that Ham came from Africa, the land of Ham. Well, actually, it was Egypt, but picky, you know, you're trying to do something here. If you believed all that, which I never did.
No.
But if you did believe it, you were taught that in Baymanette, Alabama, or wherever you were. Mm-hmm. When you learn grace, that party's over.
Amen. Yes. That's it.
Just as you dropped your sin debt at Calvary's cross, you can drop Shem, Ham, Japheth there too.
Yes.
Well, I do get wound up, don't I?
Yep.
That's because I have an unction.
Oh,
wow. Verse 20 from the Holy One. 1 John chapter 2. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, I've been accused of you think you know everything. I won't buy into that one. When they say you think you're right and I'm wrong, I will accept that.
Yeah.
Because I do.
Well, sure.
Have a nice day. Unction. There used to be a salve when you got a burn or something called unguentine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's an unction. That's a balm, a salve. And the English unction has to do with the act of anointing. And guess what? The Greek does too. So you've got it already in English without knowing the charisma from the Greek word that translated unction in the passage. Now, the unction in focus here is the 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, unction, the anointing, which ye have received of him, abideth in you. Abideth, that means it lives there.
Yes.
Didn't come to visit. Lives there. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things. Now, isn't that similar to what he says in the verse that we're dealing with? Ye know all things.
Yes.
The way to handle that verse and get away from it is to make the all a list of specific things.
Yeah.
Not all inclusive, but all to a certain exception. So, apologists for the verses, such as Finis Jennings Dake in his study Bible, in New Testament page numbering 276, he has numbers for the Old Testament that run up to about 900, and then the New Testament starts over with a new numbering. He says all things necessary to salvation and the Christian life in general. So you do not need the so-called superior knowledge of the Gnostics and others to seek to deceive you. Well, when he says you need to know all things, that you know all things necessary for the Christian life, you know better than that. You know it's a struggle every day to
yes.
walk in newness of life.
Yes.
So he doesn't help.
No.
These guys actually tend to make it worse. What we're looking at in 1 John, what we're looking at in Acts 2, is the real Pentecostal endowment of power
yes.
that the modern-day Pentecostals and Charismatics are faking.
Yeah.
Everything they pretend is a tribulation truth for Israel.
Yes.
Their tongue talking, their
yes.
word of wisdom, they're speaking a word of prophecy. Everything they pretend is a Bible truth for tribulation Israel.
Yes.
So that's a good way to remember that, I think, that tribulation Israel is today's Pentecostalism. They think they can lose their salvation. They have to endure to the end. They're trying to keep the law as best they can. They talk in tongues. They see miracles, signs, and wonders every time they turn around. Prophecy is being fulfilled. That's Pentecostal. Modern day, and it's tribulation Israel.
Yes.
One of them is right and one of them is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's right for Israel in the tribulation. It's wrong for people today that ought to be saved by grace rather than enduring to the end.
Yes.
John says in verse 21 then, I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So, hearkening back, we don't have to go back but a couple of verses. They went out from us. Why? They're not of the truth.
That's it.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, going back to the original manuscripts when you don't have them, and Greeking the Bible from 20 or 30 different Greek texts is not truth.
No.
They need to go out from among where I am.
Amen.
The idea that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's 30 years old, and God says from heaven, thou art my son. Pastor Jordan pulls it out in the message where in other gospels he says, behold my son. But in Luke he says, thou art. And Pastor Jordan says, that's Father God instructing Jesus on who he is. Really? No Jehovah Witness could have done any better with that.
No.
And the grace movement rolls over and plays dead like a warm puppy. Shameful.
Yes,
gutless.
Yes.
The truth's not in the lie. The lie's not in the truth.
That's right.
Muhammad said Adam was 90 feet tall and that Jesus didn't die on a cross. Oral Roberts said he saw a 900 foot tall, 10 times bigger than Muhammad's.
Yeah.
Who told him to build a tower? Joe Smith taught a presidential candidate that Jesus wasn't God at all.
Right.
So, lots of liars are in the religion business.
Yes.
What better business to get in than the religion business if you're a liar?
Yeah.
Because you're protected.
Yes.
Can't talk against anybody's religion. Well, he's a bald-faced liar. I'll talk against that all day long.
Yes.
When you're lowering the lid on the casket, the last words I'll be saying is, Richard Jordan told you a lie.
Yep.
Jesus is always the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
The greatest impediment to truth is the tolerant, politically correct, open-minded, free-thinking, progressive, who would shoot you if they had half a chance.
Yes.
They've invented words to stigmatize me.
Yes.
I'm a homophobe. I'm an Islamophobe. I don't have to invent a word. They're fools.
Yes.
I have been stigmatized, marginalized, Simonized, Sanferized. Doesn't bother me in the least. I don't want to be among them.
No.
When you talk about Christianity and you confuse me with the Pope, I haven't done a very good job of identifying who I am.
That's it.
Your mid-ex Pauline dispensationist, you confuse me with Richard Jordan, I haven't done a very good job of identifying who I am. You confuse me with Paul Sadler or Ricky Curthy, I haven't done a very good job of identifying who I am.
Right.
I'm a King James Bible believer. You mix me up with Les Feldick, I've not done a very good job of identifying who I am. I'm glad to be separate.
Yeah.
I like spinach. And I am who I am, said Popeye the Sailor. Spinach, not cooked, but raw. Makes a good sandwich. Makes a good salad. You eat it for a sandwich. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? I know that's about the Messiah.
Yes.
But I can't read that verse without thinking of Pastor Jordan.
Yes.
Because his is the denial of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as certainly.
Yes, it is.
He is Antichrist. Folks treat these doctrinal differences as if it is the difference between being a Jets fan and a Patriots fan.
Mm-hmm.
These doctrinal differences You know, we all have a team we root for. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is much more important.
Yes.
Now, it's a good thing, I think, to flush out the quail, to flush out the ones that are sly. Mm-hmm. Particularly on a thing like the race issue, which the Bible doesn't have a race issue.
No.
Something as insidious as that, it's hid from people.
Yes.
When I call Pastor Jordan on teaching Shem, Ham, and Japheth in Grace School of the Bible, I got some of his best friends are black.
Right.
I got, he tries to get them saved. Tries to get them saved. I've seen black people in his church. All three of those things, I'll give you 100% true. He's still teaching a horrible doctrine.
Yes.
I don't happen to believe those other things.
Really?
Or that they matter.
Yeah.
There's black people in Utah. Mm-hmm. They're all on the turnpike going through. Right? I got to be right about that. Still the mark of the beast in most of Utah. Well, I am a troublemaker.
Thank you.
I put in your notes the specific date, time, and name of the Muslim mullah that Bill Hybels put in the pulpit at Willow Creek.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
June 9, 2007. Mullah Faisal Hamuda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
20,000 evangelicals applauded when that devilish liar said, "We believe in Jesus too." I actually am thrilled to have Bill Hybels identify himself as a liberal ecumenicist for anybody that's got the brains God gave a long goose.
Yes.
They're made of ceramic or plaster, by the way. They don't have a brain. Anybody that's got the brain of a zucchini, of a kumquat, of a bowling ball, they could get that this guy will put up with a devil in the pulpit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And let him lie. We believe in Jesus too. Yeah. And everything you believe about him is counter to what the Bible teaches.
Yes.
And this jerk, this gold-plated millionaire pastor, puts him in the pulpit in front of 20,000 people. Oh, yay! It's all better now. 9/11's over. McLean, he's this. You betcha. I should probably be more so than I am.
Yes.
I'm getting old, getting lazy. 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Who is a liar but he that denieth? That has to do about their Messiah.
Yes.
Who's a liar? The liar would be those who rejected the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know in times past, and I give it to you again, in John chapter 1 and verses 30 and 31, the purpose for water baptism is identified and to make manifest to Israel their Messiah. But look in Luke 7, verses 19 to 23. John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent him to Jesus, saying, "Art thou he that should come?" Jesus didn't send back a telegram and say, "Yep." Jesus cured many of the infirmities and plagues and evil spirits. To the blind he gave sight. Then Jesus speaks to John's two disciples and said unto them, "Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard." They required a sign. He gave them signs. Father, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. So the two witnesses for John, then they could go back and say, well, you know, he saw him do all this stuff. He's got to be the Messiah. And that's the issue. Luke chapter 7, drop down to verse 29. And all the people that heard him, the publicans, justify God being baptized with the baptism of John. So how do you get testimony? He's the Messiah. God's right. I'm with the program. You get baptized.
That's right.
But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves. How do you stand fast? I'm not going to accept the Messiah. I'm no part of that. Being not baptized of him.
That's right.
Hmm?
That's right.
So in today's churches, you're not allowed to be a member of the church until you get baptized.
Mm. Yeah.
They'll say it's not for salvation, but if you're not a member of the church, then what are you?
Mm.
Doorstop?
Yeah.
Mm. Words mean things. Now, I have a textual note at the end of the passage that in your King James Bible, if you look at the verse, you'll see verse 23 after the colon.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in italics. The King James translators put in italics those words which were not supplied in the text. So there's 10 words. That's a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
So the King James Bible is attacked on that basis. What they did was have the form match the verses before and the verses after so that you have the presentation and then you have the explanation. The funny thing that happened is after 1611, manuscripts were found that contained the words or words that would have to be translated that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not ever going to teach the King James translators were inspired, but they knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were dealing with God's word. And they gave you a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, 18 Greek manuscripts are now extant, which would require those 10 words.
Mm-hmm.
None of those had been located when the translation was written.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous coincidence. But it's an amazing thing to consider. So, what I love about this is the primary manuscript that is used by the New American Standard and the Bible correctors is the one that Count von Tischendorf found, and it outside a monastery is called Sinaiticus because it was found at Sinai. Sinaiticus was found, oh, I forget the date, but well after 1600. Sinaiticus contains the 18 words. So the Greek manuscript that they used to attack the King James Bible, here they have to use it to defend the King James Bible, which is interesting. For we who just hold to the King James Bible, these are all spurious issues. But I wanted you to know when somebody says, look at all those supplied words at the end of verse 23, that can't be right. Your case has been undermined by 18 manuscripts that say, yes, it can be right. And at that point, we'll be done for the day.